We're going to start with a nice word on Parshas Metzora. In the cipher Sifse Tzadikim, he brings from the Abt Eruv. Abt Eruv gezukt. V'tiba akoyim v'lukach l'mitar v'etz eres v'shnisaluas v'aizov, all the different things that Metzora has to bring as part of his Kapura. So he says the Gemura brings, Rashi quotes the Gemura in Eirichim, that because the Neguim are coming from Gasa Sariach, from Gava, a person is arrogant and he has to be mashpul himself, that's why we bring the Saluas and the Aizov. So the Kasha goes that if someone has to be a Unav and be small and humble, so then why is he bringing Aitz Eres, which is Meramas on the Gava? That was part of the problem, not part of the solution over here. And also, what's he bringing the Shnisa Luas, Lushan Shol Seimer, Rashi says. So he says that the Indian of the Eres is Meramas of a Yigbal Diba Bedarke Hashem. When a person serves Hashem, he has to be arrogant, he has to be confident, he has to know he's doing the right thing. It's the only way to serve Hashem. If somebody's going to be too tzeklapt by Zich, he's going to be too humble, he won't believe in what he's doing, he won't have the confidence to do it even when other people are looking down at him and things like that. Very important, but you believe in Darka Hashem. When it comes to other things, it's not Darka Hashem, that's where a person has to know to be mashpul himself. And to get it right, to get this balance right, that's where you really need the Chit HaMishko. You need that very fine line to make sure that you're being confident and strong when it's the right time to be, and then not having that run over into the other times when it's not the right thing. So the Chit HaLushan, that a person has to be shoykel, that's Maramz on the Chit HaSara, that's the Shnisa Luas. So you have the Eres on one side, where a person does have to be confident and strong. You have the Aizav on the other side, where a person has to be humble. And then you have that Shnisa Luas, the fine line in between, to know when to do what. Now when it comes to relationships, when it comes to Shulam Bayis in particular, there's always that fine line. There's always a fine line, and this is where people get very confused. How much should I stick up for myself? How much is it my domain? How much is it my decision? Am I right? And yeah, people do have to know how to be strong and when to be strong, when to be confident, and when to know what their rights are and healthy boundaries, and not be stepped on, not be controlled. Especially when it comes to a husband who's maybe more leader. We'll talk about that in a moment. Right? How much is he supposed to be taking orders from his wife? And on the other hand, where does that not roll into controlling someone else and being so strong that I don't take someone else seriously? And because I have the right to do something, that's why I'm always going to use this right. And that's why I won't take someone else into consideration. And this is, I think, just such a typical idea where this is so important to have the right balance. The right balance. It's a balance for life, and it's a balance of a person's behavior, benudin l'koinoi, benudin l'mokam, and benudin l'chavayre. So let me just read a letter, a little long. Hi, Rabbi Gruen. I've been listening to your Shiur Matora anytime on both parenting and Shalom Bayis, and I feel like it resonates with me. Your tips and guidance make so much sense and have been so helpful. Do you have a book on Shalom Bayis? Okay, the short answer is that I have a book called Get Along With Everyone, and it definitely touches upon many ideas about Shalom Bayis. Okay. My husband purchased and read the book .. by Rabbi .. And we both liked it a lot. There were a few things that I thought were a little extreme, like where he suggests that you tell yourself again and again, I'm a very difficult person to live with. I'd rather think that I have my issues too, but it's not all mine. And there were things that he wrote in the book that didn't resonate 100%, but for the most part, me and my husband felt that it was helpful. Interestingly enough, my husband overheard somebody ask Rosh Hashiva about the book, and he didn't like the name, which we both agreed is a strange name for a book, and discouraged the person to buy it. My husband felt that there really is no Shalom Bayis book that is as practical and insightful as this one. He bought a few over the years, and none of them really spelled out the marriage challenges and experiences and the best ways of resolving them as this book. He called up a chassan teacher with a good reputation in our city and asked him his opinion, and he felt that even though there are some helpful tips and practical examples, but there are a few items that he felt were not enough acceptable statements or shittas and would not endorse this to be read by a ben Torah. My husband felt that even though there are classes available and people to speak to, there is no practical book like this out there for the Bnei Torah audience, and not everyone is running to people to speak to or listen to shurim. And a book is also something you could refer back to, read on Shabbos, different than an MP3 of shurim or live shurim or people to speak to. I also have a more specific and personal question. We have struggled in our relationship for several years, and I think some of it has to do with the issue of control. My husband is a more controlling personality, and it took a long time for me to realize this, and then learn the techniques of how to communicate what decisions I should be making, even if he does not agree. I would mostly feel hurt and express my feelings of hurt after crying for a while, when it would be said in a hurtful way, like if he would say something like, "You look horrible in that skirt, don't ever wear it," or "You're wasting so much time talking to that family member of yours, you should stop, and if you don't listen, you're over on Ishak Sheira." And instead of explaining that even if you don't like it, I could still choose to wear it, but I see that you don't like it, so I'll take it into consideration, and that I was hurt by the comment. After my hurt was expressed, he did feel bad that he said it in a hurtful way and should have said it nicer, but still thinks I shouldn't wear something that he thinks looks bad on me. I've definitely gotten better, but still not perfect, and I do get thrown off when I feel hurt by a strong comment. I realized that this was a control issue when listening to a Shalom Bayis class from Mrs. Da-da-dat. When I once mentioned this control issue very sensitively to my husband, he was extremely upset and insulted, but I think he still got the idea and has definitely worked on himself to be less controlling and give me a little more space in how and what I do, what he wants from me, and is more tolerable with decisions that I make for myself. He eventually agreed that it's a little much to threaten Ishak Sheira when I'm talking to a family member, but it was under certain circumstances that it was taking too much of his time or time from the family, in his opinion, and very unnecessary conversation, in his opinion. One issue that this chassan teacher had with the book mentioned was that the book describes how there should be no boss in the relationship, double quotes, and even goes on to say that he should never criticize her, a husband should never criticize a wife, even if her skirt is too short, which my husband wasn't 100% sure he agreed with. And this chassan teacher disagreed with it as well. Yet, yes, the chassan teacher agreed a man has to have more respect for his wife, but they both have to know that the husband is the boss. I listened to Yeshurim on Who's in Control in the Yiddish Ashtib, What's Mine, Yours, and Ours. I also listened to a shir from you about this topic where you described that there's a difference between a melech and a ganav, one who is forcing the other one to comply instead of getting someone to want to please. But I'm still not completely clear about this topic and how it plays out in practical examples. It seems okay for a boss to tell an employee that this job needs to be done by tomorrow, and for a menahelis to tell a student that a skirt is too short, but is that okay for a husband to a wife? My relationship with my husband on this issue and his controlling behavior has definitely improved over the recent years, partly from me being more communicative and less allowing of being controlled, and more recently from this book, but it's not completely disappeared either. Therefore, I would like to get clarity on the Torah view of who is the boss. The book also mentions that having a boss in a relationship will deter the love in the relationship, which I think makes sense. Can you provide an explanation of the Torah view of this husband as a boss or a melech on a practical level and where it can play out in relationships? And also, what do you think of this book in general, and would you consider writing a Shalom Bayis book in Yiddish? Like your Shalom Bayis Shiurim. Thank you for taking the time to read this email. Okay, so that was a bit long of a letter. I'll just start by saying that I specifically left out the name of the book for a few reasons. One is, who am I to give to comment on someone else's book? I wrote my own. I don't need other people giving their opinions about it. I have my own opinions about everything. And I don't think I'm the one to decide. I will mention, though, ironically, that I don't know if you noticed, but the book that you mentioned actually has an endorsement from me in the back cover. The endorsement wasn't as elaborate as I was asked to give, but it's irrelevant. I did give an endorsement, a gentle endorsement, about fact that it's a nice book, but I definitely don't think that everyone should be reading anything that I think is appropriate. I'm not anyone's das Torah, I don't think. I'm just mentioning that. But let's try to break this down to a few different points, and I'm trying not to be too long. The first thing is that the fact that you and your husband found a book that you both like, that's good. That's good. I'm not saying it's a good book. I'm saying that in general, when a husband and wife could come up with something that they like, ideas that they like, whether it's a person they like going to for guidance, or it's classes or shiurim they like hearing, or a book that they like reading together, the fact that you're on the same page instead of each going in a different direction, each using their own sources of material and literature and and you know, whatever else to use against someone else. This is what works for me, and you know, why don't you like who I like? You know, it's already a good thing. I've seen many couples who don't get along on how to, they don't even agree on who to turn to or what ideas are good. So then, of course, you're already heading in two different directions. I'll just mention something. Again, I don't want to get too nitty-gritty, but you mentioned it three times. So I'm gonna mention it. You mentioned it about something that about my classes, that they resonate with you, which is wonderful. Then you mentioned something about the book, that it doesn't resonate 100%. And then something about this Rosh Hashiva and this Das Torah and how much his ideas resonate with you, or the Chosn teacher. Now, it's important to remember that if you're looking for somebody in general, even without the Yiddishkeit idea, if you're looking for somebody who's going to say some only things that you like, if you're looking for somebody everything they'll say will resonate with you, then you might as well just write your own book and give yourself guidance and figure out what you like to hear. And this is something I tell people often when they comment on my classes. Nobody has to agree with everything I say at all. Nobody has to listen to my classes at all. Nobody has to read my books at all. And you don't have to read anyone's books or like what anyone has to say. But if you're going to take everything with that grain of salt, well, I like what this person says in this area, and other things don't resonate with me. I like what this Rav or this Hashiva, this Chosn teacher says. I like this book. But only till whatever I like to hear. What people don't realize sometimes is they're basically just reading their own thoughts and looking for who's going to back it. Now, it doesn't mean that you're wrong. It doesn't mean that the people you're reading or the people you trust are always right. But there's definitely something to think about when you'll only agree with and accept and listen to something that resonates with you, and the things that don't, you just disregard because that's not for me. It doesn't work like that. And especially when it's talking about Das Torah, whether you do have a Rav or a Hashiva or a Chosn teacher or anyone who you trust their guidance, you could assume that they're going to say things at some point you might not like, and you don't have to agree with it. So if somebody's telling you that a book is not okay, then even if you feel it is and there's no such book as good as that one, it might be the right thing, it probably is the right thing to say, well, if this person says it's not for me, then it's not for me. Or if you're reading a book about Shalom Bias and they give a certain idea that you don't like to hear, but if you trust that book, then sometimes the right thing to do is say, well, if that's what the book says, then maybe it's the right thing, etc. So it's not a question that people have to be ready to hear things they don't like to hear. That's the point in being educated. There's a point in hearing and learning and letting yourself be guided. In general, people, everyone, myself included, we're all too biased and subjective to really understand our own situations well. And that's why automatically, whenever you're going to learn something or hear something, when it comes to you, to apply it in a way that you know that you're always going to like, it doesn't work like that. To read a book and have somebody point to you in your face that you're doing something wrong or something you don't want to hear, it's always difficult, which is why you're being guided by other people who are less subjective. People who are more objective than you are. And when it comes to their own marriages, they probably also need help. And they need other people to point out to them where they're doing something wrong. So I think that's something to just, you know, as a general introduction to reading and learning and doing everything. You don't have to like what you're hearing. And very often you're not going to like what you're hearing. And it's because that's how we are. That's how we are. Now, especially when it comes to Das Torah, it's clear that everything you do has to have a clear guidance of Das Torah, and I always talk about it and I promote it and I believe in it. Right? Yiddishkeit affects every part of our life. If you're going to read something that for whatever reason the Hashkafa or whatever it is not appropriate for you, for your home, then you're already doing something wrong. But this is so practical, it makes so much sense, it's so good. That's not the criteria. It's not the only criteria, I should say. Of course you want to find something that works for you and is practical and resonates, but that's not the only criteria. And you do want to ask Das Torah before making decisions of what to bring into your home and what to trust and what to follow and what's good. And the fact that you mentioned something about a standard for a Ben Torah, yes, the Ben Torah definitely has different standards. We spoke about this about Tznius and other things. There are many standards. The fact that something is good for one person doesn't mean it's good for someone else. So if you're being told that for you this is not the right way to do things, sometimes it's a very understandable point. Another point in general is that people like books and classes, and one of the reasons is people don't realize sometimes. But one of the reasons is because you take it or leave it. You hear a class, you read a book, you can pick and choose. It's not committing, so sometimes it's just easier than going to someone or talking to someone, having someone actually intrude into your life. So you read things and you apply them the way you want, and you pick up the pieces that are most relevant or the most tempting or the most resonating, and the other ones not. And very often, actually being able to apply the information correctly is something that itself needs a lot of guidance. So So all that was just a basic introduction about how to find the right books and how to know that you're reading the right ones and how to know that, yeah, sometimes you have to accept information if you don't like it and apply it correctly. Now, the question that you asked basically was, just to sum it up, you asked me what I think of that book. It doesn't matter what I think of that book. I think you should trust the people you trust about the book, about any other books for that matter. I think you should trust any book that you trust and try to follow and implement the guidance correctly. Now, before getting to your situation, the question that you ask is there a boss? You're quoting a book that says there's no boss in the marriage and that a boss in the marriage is a problem, or a boss in the relationship is a problem, takes away from the love. And the question is the husband the boss? Now, if the question is there a dictator in a marriage or somebody controlling the marriage, I think the answer is no, that's not how it should be. That's not how Hashem wants a marriage to be, that somebody's controlling the other person. That's a, you know, maybe a shifcha, maybe a servant and a master. That's not what a marriage is about. But if the question is, are husband and wife two equals? No, definitely not two equals. That's not the way the Torah sets up a marriage. We know in benching, for example, right? We say, Racham Nivorech, a woman is the balas habayis, and the husband is the bal habayis. But when it comes between the two of them, he's definitely her bal. Right? You mentioned ishik sheira oisar tzoyim bala. He is her bal, whatever that means. She is not her balas. She's not his balas. Right? A husband is a bal, and a bal, if you want to interpret it as a boss, that's probably not the right definition. But he is his wife's bal. And to assume that it will deter the love, and that's why we shouldn't believe in the idea of is there a boss in the marriage, that's not a good reason not to. Let's put it that way. That's not a good reason not to. There are people that they want to practice religion with love, and that's why they don't want to see Hashem as a boss. Because if he's a boss, then it's taken away from the love. You know, obviously. We do things the way the Torah says and not the way we want to. And even if we feel that if we're listening to Hashem's commandments is going to take away from the love, it doesn't mean anything. So if the question is a husband the boss, I think technically a husband is the boss of the house. And again, the word boss in double quotes make it sound a little scary, but he definitely has a certain position, let's call it, which is not equal to his wife. That's a very big mistake. Not a question. Now, how does this boss position look? Okay, that's something that the Torah tells us how it looks. I'll read the Rambam, and I've read this in the past when the Rambam is describing how a marriage should look. Husband should be respectful of his wife, yoyse megufay, and love her kegufay. If he has money, he should spend it on her. He shouldn't be too scary in the way he's treating her. You should talk to her nicely and gently. You shouldn't be angry or sad. A woman should now be respectful of her husband. She should actually be somewhat afraid of him. He should do everything the way he wants. He should be in her eyes like a sar and a melech. She should do things the way he likes, and she shouldn't do things that he doesn't like. That's what the Rambam is suggesting. Now, interestingly, the Rambam doesn't tell the husband to be the king and the tsar. On the contrary, he's telling the husband to not be matl em yisayr on his wife. But he's telling the wife to look at her husband like the melech and the tsar, and it's on her to try to do things the way he wants. So it's an interesting mix over here, how the Rambam is suggesting it. Another interesting thing is that the Rambam starts with him. The husband should first, he doesn't say it first, but he definitely writes it first, that the husband is being mechabedes ishto yoyse megufa, v'have kegufa, and not being matle misera, and then turning to her and say that she should be respecting him even more and doing everything the way he likes. So I think it's just a healthy balance that the Rambam is suggesting, the Torah is suggesting, of a husband being respectful and considerate and gentle toward his wife, and not using his executive power of Mr. Boss to treat her poorly in any way. And maybe, I don't know if we should say after that or along with that, even though he's describing it afterwards, she should be looking at him like a Sarah and a Melech, and trying to do things the way he wants, and being fearful and respectful of him, the way you are of a Sarah and a Melech. And he says, this is the way it should work. So again, the connotation that the word boss has like somebody's scary and in a position where everything has to go his way, that's not what the Rambam is describing. Although there is a certain respect, and there is definitely, you want to call it Ishak Shayra Oyser Tzayim Baal, it's definitely the Torah way. Now, in general, let me just go back to the idea of boundaries. Because every time I talk about this, people get confused. I think it seems that it's like somewhat confusing. If healthy boundaries in a relationship means that there's mine, yours, and ours, and whatever belongs to me, I should be in control of, what belongs to you, you should be in control of, and then ours, we have to agree on. Sometimes people look at it like, so that means that we're even, basically. I have mine, you have yours. So in what way is the position of the husband any different than the wife? And I think it's a very simple mistake. The suggested healthy way of people relating to each other is to be respectful of each other's boundaries and not to be afraid to have your own ideas that you like and be expressive and feel comfortable. And I think that's what healthy relationships look like. As a matter of fact, even with parents and children. The fact that you're a parent, right? I think over there it's a little simpler. Most people understand that a parent is the boss. The boss in the house. The fact that you're the boss means that you should be dictating everything the way your child does. Does it mean that your child doesn't have any rights anymore? If something's important to him or meaningful to him or he likes something a certain way or he wants to do things in a certain style, they can't do it because you're the boss. In a healthy relationship, there's a certain consideration that we have for each other and for ourselves, and it's good when both of us are aware of it. I'm aware that you should let me do things my way, and I'm aware that I should let you do things your way, and there's something that couples could be understanding of together. So yes, it is true that a woman who does things to her husband's likings is an ishak shayra, and she is suggested and encouraged to do so, and I don't think it's something that a husband should be threatening a wife about or demanding of her necessarily, even though it is the right way to do things. That's the balance. Everything in life is about balance, about understanding how to be a good wife and how to be a good husband, how to be understanding of each other and how to be healthy toward each other, and how to not absolve your identity and your individuality just to make someone else happy, you know, when it doesn't leave you as being too happy. In general, as much as a parent should demand respect of a child, and maybe a husband of a wife, there's always leaving the choice to someone else. That's what Bechira is about. Right? The point of being mechanech children, let's talk about children for a moment, is not to tell them what the right thing to do is and to make sure they do it. That's not what it is. You're not here to take away your child's Bechira. You're here to make it easier for him to do the right thing and not to forget that, yes, you are the parent. You are the parent. So just let him figure out on his own and decide if he wants to be respectful. No, you're supposed to demand a certain amount of respect and earn a certain amount of respect and know your position as a parent and still let someone decide. I think I want to mention this. Chazal say that chayach techiach, you're supposed to give someone miser, right? You're mechiach even 100 times. So the halacha is, the Gemara says, you do it ad kedei hakua. You're supposed to tell someone they're doing the wrong thing again and again until they hit you. If they hit you, that's where you're supposed to stop. By the time someone hits you already, that's where it's time to stop and you realize you're not getting a message across and you just keep quiet. Somebody tells me he saw somebody hitting someone. Yes, why are you hitting him? He said, because Chazal say, you're supposed to give someone misr until you actually have to, until you hit them. You know, if it's not helping to say it nicely, you scream louder. If that doesn't hurt, if that doesn't help, then you actually hit them. He misinterpreted the words of the Gemara. So sometimes people think that to get someone to do the right thing means that I'm going to force you to do the right thing because that's my responsibility. That's not the responsibility, not of a parent and not of a husband. So as much as a woman should be doing the right thing, it doesn't mean that it's up to the husband to start threatening and demanding it and make sure it happens. And I think that if a woman feels that her husband's talking to her in a way that's hurtful and disrespectful or whatever it is, you know, it's hurting her, she's allowed to say it in a respectful way. There's a way to say it. I'm sure you didn't mean anything, and it's hurtful to me, and even if I'm not necessarily right about this, I'd appreciate it if you say things differently, or we can discuss it with someone. There's very many healthy ways to communicate something when you get hurt. You don't have to hurt back, and you don't have to get angry, and even though it's not always so easy, very often there are good ways to do it. And Bechlal, consulting with Das Torah, you know, about anything in your relationship, if something is reasonable, if something is being done the right way, is always the right way to do things. The fact that your husband believes one way and you believe another way, very often you talk to someone about it, I think this could be taken care of. And you could be sure that if something is unreasonable or incorrect, I think that whoever you trust to consult with will be able to point it out to you and your husband in a healthy way. I do want to mention that the idea of tznius, regardless of what it said in that book, just like parents are responsible for the tznius of children, it says clearly that a husband is responsible for how his wife and his children behave and dress and do things like that. It doesn't mean that he has to control her now or enforce it, but he is responsible for it. So to say that he shouldn't be mentioning anything about it, I don't think is the right thing. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right. But again, very often when you consult with Das Torah, you get a clear answer for what's right and wrong. This doesn't have to be a me-you issue. Why is it between you and your husband to figure out what's right and wrong? If you think it's right, feel comfortable to suggest that we discuss it with someone. Recently, I was dealing with a situation of a couple who the husband was very adamant that something his wife wanted to do, or was about to do, or said she would do, was against halach and against hashkaf and against everything. And she was feeling very stifled by the fact that he's not giving her a choice to do something she believes was okay. He was feeling very challenged by the fact that his wife wants to do something that he felt wasn't oisgehalten. Right? Healthy situation, very normal. And with the right encouragement, she did bring up that she's happy to go with him to consult with a das Torah and find out what's right. And when he turned that down, she was guided to go ask herself the question, find out if it's right or wrong. Why are you fighting with your husband about it? Go find out what the answer is and ask someone that you both trust. And that's what she did. And believe it or not, she came back with an answer and they both felt much better. As hard as it was to agree in advance that we should go and find out what's right, when they did find out, I think they both felt much better about it. So, you know, I think the idea over here in general when it comes to being Ishak Sheira and it comes to being respectful and it comes to healthy boundaries and it comes to knowing what's right and wrong when it comes to tzniyas and things like that, in most of these issues, there's no black and white. And this is where people get confused. And Yiddishkeit is so based on the idea of combining and implementing and balancing ideas that whenever you get too stuck one way or the other, it always gets confusing. So yes, Yiddishkeit does promote that a husband is the boss. And Yiddishkeit does promote that a husband should be extra respectful and gentle toward his wife. And Yiddishkeit does promote a lot of the healthy boundaries that I discuss and that we all believe in, without taking away from the fact that, you know, there's a way that the Torah set up a relationship. And I think that when you balance it all out correctly, that's what the Rambam says will definitely make things the way it should be. So just to sum up the basic ideas, you do want to be careful about who you get advice from and what you read. And when you do decide that something is good for you, you do it all the way, and you don't necessarily only accept and pick and choose the ideas that resonate with you. I do think a husband is the boss, and I do think the way to be a boss is to be extra respectful toward a wife and to allow her the decisions that she should be making, and she should try to do things the way he wants. And with healthy communication, I think a lot of this could be resolved in a very geschmack way. So I think that it all boils down again to just the general idea. It's a Yiddishkeit idea. Knowing when to be v'yikba libe b'dak Hashem and say, I'm sorry, this is my place, and this is where I should feel confident, I should feel in control, whether it's the husband feeling so, or even a wife feeling so, in her areas, at the same time, to know how to be mashpil atzmoy ka'izav, and to know that, you know, sometimes just the right thing to do is to be more flexible and more respectful and more humble, and to have that chita asara, to get it right, to know when to apply what idea, and not to see it as a contradiction. I think that's really the biggest part of it, to get the balance right. The right amount of respect and flexibility and humility, and at the same time, the confidence and the strength, I think that will help us all get it right and live together. B'hava, Achbar, Shalom, Barayas.